Support for KNKX comes from Laird Norton Wealth Management, serving high-net-worth families, individuals, foundations, and endowments since 1967, with a philosophy that life is as much about goals and aspirations as it is about maximizing financial capital. More at LairdNortonWM.com.
Well, welcome to this wonderful studio session on 88.5 KNKX. I'm Robin Lloyd, and we have with us the cast and director from the show Nina Simone, Four Women, woo-hoo, by Christina Hamm. It's playing at the Seattle Repertory Theater now through June 2nd, and we're going to have some great music and some fun conversation. I saw the show on Sunday. The show is very powerful, and I highly recommend it to everyone to go see this. So please welcome Shantina Vernon.
Hello.
And Shaunice Omar.
Hello.
Brittany Simpson.
Hello.
And Portia Shaw.
Hi.
And the director of the show, Valerie Curtis Newton. Welcome and thanks for coming. All right. Why don't we just start with your first song, and we'll take it from there and have some conversation afterwards. Okay?
Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? And why should my heart feel so lonely and long? For my heaven and home, when Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Shantina Vernon and Shaunice Omar with his eyes on the sparrow. I'd like to direct some conversation with the director, Valerie Curtis Newton, and if you want to come up to the microphone, that'd be great. Thank you. This play with music. When did this first catch your attention?
I was directing a play at the Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis in 2016, and someone gave me the script, and I fell in love with its potential, mm-hmm, and was very interested in seeing what could happen, mm-hmm, and got more interested as the playwright talked about the idea of it being not a musical but a play with music. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's actually something that can be a little misleading about what we're doing here today, because the actors are going to sing a couple of things, mm-hmm, because we're not going to do the play for you. but the play is not about the singing. The singing is an important element of it, but it's not the reason for the play. It's not for you to hear Nina Simone songs. It's actually our production of the play is about what happens when something horrific occurs in a society or in a community, and the artists have to respond. What does that response look like? What does it take to muster the response? It's not an easy thing to watch your community under attack and know that the only thing you have to offer is art, mm-hmm, which can feel pretty powerless. And what Nina Simone went through, the idea of finding the power in her art to change the world, is the thing that we're hoping to accomplish by making this particular play. Mm-hmm. And the playwright was at our opening night and was very enthusiastic about what she saw. So it started for me 2 years ago.
Wow. Thank you so much. Yeah. That's wonderful. Okay, so Shantina Vernon plays Nina Simone.
Hello.
Come up and talk to me.
Yes.
Please, thank you. you've been exposed to Nina Simone's entire volume of work, right?
Yes,
like
I have.
From childhood, probably.
Yes.
Yeah, so how does this feel for you to step into her shoes?
Timely.
Yeah.
Especially given where we are, it feels timely. And the tension between my own personal artist and activist self can certainly relate. And so it feels, it also feels ominous for me in terms of how I take some of the lessons of her music, her work, her life, and translate them into my everyday walk.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Brittany Simpson is Sophronia.
Hi.
And I should mention that these are characters based on a Nina Simone song called Four Women, which has had some controversy, but the archetype that she was shooting for, these are the I don't want to say categories. These are things that people...
Tropes.
Yes, exactly.
Tropes and stereotypes.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, your character, Sophronia, tell me about that.
About her trope specifically?
Sure.
Well, it's one I can relate to. Not specifically because... Well, my character is light-skinned, and her father was a white man who happened... We'll find out how that became in the show. And I am a fair-skinned, and many women in my family are fair-skinned. And so I grew up very familiar with this trope of this person that is too white to be fully accepted into the black community, and definitely a drop back then.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, even if the appearance was, if people knew that you had black heritage, then you definitely were not able to be a part of the white community. So too white to be black, too black to be white.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something specifically that my grandmother struggled with. My grandma was very, 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 very fair skinned, so much that she thought she was abnormal. And she said the meanest people to her were not exactly white people. I mean, white people were mean, but the most criticism she got were from people of a darker complexion.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and so I think what Sophronia raises specifically, her duty is to highlight the colorism within the black community,
right.
Which is actually like universal, I feel. Colorism is an anti-blackness is something that is in every culture, in Latin culture, in Asian culture, in all of it. So it's something that, you know, after we got through opening, I had someone who is of Egyptian heritage who came to me and talked to me about her story with her and her sisters. Her sister was darker skin and she's very fair skinned. And you know, it's just something that relatable on a universal level. So I think that's what Sophronia's character is there to really highlight, and how even she still has the struggles within the black community, but it's just against the white community. But it's different, you know, finding her place.
And in your character, you portray that tension really well.
Oh, thank you.
On stage, you do. It was really touching.
Thank you.
So,
thanks
so much. Okay. And then Shawnice Omar is Sarah, also known as Auntie.
Auntie Sarah, yes.
And I suspect that most young black people have an auntie in their heritage. It's somebody that you can rely on, who is very strong.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that all families do have a matriarch of the family,
right.
But specifically in the African American community, especially in this time frame that we're in this show is set in, which is the 60s and earlier than that, and maybe even sometimes in 2019, we expected and we relegated our black women, our older black women, to be the mothers, the aunties, and even if you think back in the 20s and the 30s, they called them mammies.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about Hattie McDaniel and what she played. And so I, for one, am grateful to those women because I believe the black race would not be here without them. Mm-hmm. And so when I portray a character like that, because I have many times, it's always with great respect in my heart. I know that there has been a push over the years, especially in the early days of the NAACP, to kind of do away with that look. And we kind of talk about that in the play mm-hmm. as well, about that type of character being in the corner, not wanting them to be the face right. of the civil rights movement because they didn't have a certain look. But I, for one, appreciate all of the sacrifices that they made for us, for all of us that are here of all colors. I just don't think that I would be here without, if the aunties back in the day just let go, mm-hmm. you know. So, yeah.
Your character in the play displays this unshakable faith, religious faith, that is tested by the rest of the women.
And, yes, yeah. It definitely is. I wouldn't say it's unshakable because she comes in shaken. She comes in. One thing that Val and I kind of worked on and discussed, and Val was really firm about, was we want to show someone who has had this faith and been in the religious Christian community all of her life and has done all the things, has been faithful, has prayed, has went to church every Sunday, has tithed, have done all of these things. And then now something like this happens. And what do? Where do you turn? When you normally, if something goes wrong, we go to church. Mm-hmm. Well, the church has been blown up. Yeah. And so that was something that, and I really appreciate that, Val, that she really was like, we need to show that she's struggling with this faith. So I wouldn't say that her faith is unshakable. I would say that the women back then did have a great way to mask that they had, that they were shaken. And I think that's what she tries to do when she first comes in. Yeah. But as time, as the play progresses, we see that veneer crumbling down, right. and she begins to learn. Once she kind of lets go of that, she begins to learn. As she's learning from Nina, she's learning from Sophronia, and she's learning from Sweet Thing.
Right, exactly. Thank you so very much. Mm-hmm. And speaking of Sweet Thing, Portia Shaw.
Yes.
Okay, your character, Sweet Thing, mm-hmm. is fill in the blanks for me.
Oh,
free?
Yeah.
Free?
I think Sweet Thing is misunderstood. Mm-hmm. I think Sweet Thing is resilient. Mm-hmm. I think Sweet Thing is very strong, and I think she's very sensitive. Mm-hmm. And I think she shakes the ground that everyone walks on, that they think they expect to be there. Mm-hmm. She's kind of like, actually, there's so much more truth than people like to acknowledge. And so I think Sweet Thing is kind of like acid in a wound, mm-hmm. like they say the mother's words could be.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Right.
Okay. I just wanted to say that this combination is really wonderful in the show, and not only voices, but the acting is just superb. And as I said, it's really, really moving. So I do recommend that people go see this, and it'll be at Seattle Repertory Theater now through June 2nd. And is there anything else you'd like to add, Valerie?
I think that what's important about the piece is that these women's stories don't get told very often, and that they are a part of a long line of black women taking action.
Yes.
That's an important message in our production of this play, is that even Nina Simone wasn't actually unique. She wasn't the first. She wasn't the only. She was just one of many. And the Times highlighted her, and our reflection from the present back gives us an opportunity to really see her in the long line of black women who have motivated pretty much every major social movement for a couple of hundred years. So that's what the production is for us, an opportunity to do that. And we hope that people will come and recognize the invisible women who have made our world different and better.
Wonderful. Thank you. Yes, please, please. Yay. All right. I had another question for all of the cast members. The set that you're working on is challenging. And you do it in high heels. You're not in heels, but three out of the four are in high heels. You get my undying admiration for that part, too, as well. Okay. The last song of the show is written by Shantina. And it is the full cast, and let's hear that now.
Shantina, you want to tell them?
I will. Yeah, please.
I will. So speaking of the sort of intersection between art and activism, Freedom Song was really spurred by the death of Sandra Bland. She's not mentioned in this particular sequence of verses, but in a series that included Eric Garner and the nine members of the South Carolina church that was hit, and Pulse at the Orlando, the dance club, when all of that. So and then the wall. There's a verse in that mentions the wall. This was before the wall was a wall, and so
and
the Dallas the protest in which the police officers were killed. And so it's just this for me is a confluence of trying to wrestle with what it means to be alive, and to figure out how to use my own activism and art. I'm a writer and a filmmaker and music maker, and so how do I use that to really answer the call that I feel is happening at this particular time with the pace, the accelerated pace that things are happening in. So this was my answer to that, and it's called Freedom Song.
Okay. Freedom Song.
When the bell starts to ring, where will you be? At the corner store selling cigarettes, where will you be? Church in a parking lot, praying for me when the freedom bell starts. Will you be dancing on the floor to let it go when the bell starts to ring, or at a protest of a dirty war when the bell starts to ring? On the other side of a wall when the bell starts to ring, when the freedom bell starts. This is the fire. This is the flame we walked into. Watching it burn, it consumes you too. These are the times, these are the days we must follow through. Taking up arms of love and truth, standing for those who've fallen for you, changing the air. At the corner store, selling cigarettes, there you will be, there you will be. This is the fire, this is the flame we walked into, watching it burn, it consumes you too. These are the times, these are the days we must follow through.
We must follow through. bonds of love and truth, standing for those who fall in for you, changing the air. The end is beginning. Ooh. Ah, 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 ah.